This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Ever wanted to leap tall buildings, uphold the law, solve a crime, but just don't have the time?
Go!
Tune in to Joy 94.9, Wednesdays from midday,
when Victoria Police gay and lesbian liaison officers
Gabby and Scott
ask for your help in solving crime.
Victoria Police GLOWS, Crime Stoppers, the Anti-Violence Project and Joy 94.9 working together to help make our community safe.
And that's right, you're listening to the Victoria Police Community Hour. In the studio we have got Greg Adkins. Oh, he's waving because he's not in front of a microphone.
He's in front of the microphone. Good morning, Scott Davis.
Good morning, Greg Adkins. And we've got Senior Constable Gabrielle Tyke.
Good afternoon.
And we've got some special guests joining us today, Gabby.
Yeah, we've got our wonderful Moorabbin Glow, Peter Jarvis.
G'day.
And we've also got Suzanne Bray from Bayside Glenara Kingston Local Learning and Employment Network.
Good afternoon.
So we're going to find out a little bit about why they're here a bit later on in the show, and we're also going to have a bit of a chat with Peter about his role as a gay and lesbian liaison officer down in the sort of the middle southern suburbs, the Bayside suburbs.
We haven't had him on before, and we'd like to introduce our local GLOWS so that the local community can get to know who they are and what they're about and why they've become a GLOW. I think that's really interesting.
Absolutely, and we're also going to be discussing some of the initiatives that are going on down in those Bayside suburbs in regards to GLBTI youth. So
indeed.
That will be
the
interesting.
The great work they've done and they're doing. And Greg Adkins, of course, this is the AVP hour of the month.
And this month we're going to talk about some of the, we'll give you a sneak peek about some of the fabulous events going to be taking place around Victoria for International Day Against Homophobia on May 17.
Thursday fortnight.
A whole range of stuff. Now, we've managed to capture some information from the Safe Schools Coalition. Little bottlers they are. They're out there doing their work. There's a flash mob taking place and there's a range of other things happening in the state, so stay tuned.
Excellent. So we'll discuss all of that and more. I'm really looking forward to that joint broadcast between 3OW and Joy. I think it's going to be a very exciting event.
It's nice for it to reach a much broader audience that Joy would normally reach, some people that wouldn't probably even know that Joy exists.
And, of course, the discussion that they're going to be talking about is a really important discussion.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's going to be a very, very interesting program.
And it's a really timely discussion too. I mean, you guys in the blue uniforms can't comment, but the budget came out yesterday. It's still fantastic the work the government's doing around youth suicide, mental health, but the big gaps around prejudice, crime, homophobia and the impact upon not just young people but older people on the streets is something that I think feeds and focuses the mental health and suicide ideation that takes place in community of queer people to a larger extent. So it's a very important conversation, and I know we'll be there en masse, in force.
We sure will.
Get down to the city square. Gabrielle Tyke, we've got our first crime of the week.
It's time for Crime Stoppers Crime of the Week. At about 8:40pm on the 15th of October last year, two men armed with a large knife and a golf club entered an IGA store on Johnson Street in Abbotsford. Both men allegedly jumped the front counter, threatened a staff member and made demands for his mobile phone. Attempts were also made to open the cash register. The men were last seen running from the store along Lulee Street. The first man is described as Aboriginal in appearance, about 5'7" tall, medium build with an olive complexion, a large nose and was unshaven. He was wearing a black hoodie with 50 cents printed on the front, a colourful print on the back and tracksuit pants. This offender carried a golf club. The second man is described as 6'1", medium build and dark complexion. He wore a dark hoodie, dark pants, had a white cloth covering part of his face and carried a knife. Now, we've released a number of images and we believe these people may be able to assist us in our inquiries. And the reference is CA6022.
So people need to get across to crimestoppers.com.au and look up that reference number to be able to see those pictures and help us out to solve those crimes.
You'll see this, man. It's worth checking out. If you're anywhere near that area, it's Abbotsford. And Abbotsford's a bit of a heart of the gay community, particularly the...
In the north there.
The north there. The men's areas, you know, around there in... not far from the Laird. If you go anywhere there at all to recreate in your time in the pubs and clubs and you're part of the gay community, get on the Crime Stoppers website and check this out, because you may have walked past this man or may continue to walk past this particular individual. He may live not far from where the crime...
That's right, and it's those little bits of information that can help us to track these down. We don't necessarily need to know exactly who they are or where they live. You might be able to tell us that every day you walk down Smith Street and that you see him at about 11 o'clock. And that might be enough for us to be able to go, okay, we'll put some pieces together and head somebody down there that way at that time and be able to catch him. So every little bit of intelligence that you can give us is really important. So 1-800-333-000, a bit of a recap on it there, Gab.
It's an armed robbery in Abbotsford on the 15th of October last year, and it was about 8:40 p.m.
Wonderful. Now, get across to crimestoppers.com.au. We've got a song, and then we're going to come back and speak to Peter Jarvis, our glow down at Moorabbin.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
And you're listening to the Victoria Police Hour here on Joy 94.9 with Greg Adkins from the Anti-Violence Project in the studio and Gabrielle Tyack, the North West Metro Glow, and myself, Scott Davis, a sergeant with the Victoria Police, formerly the manager of the Gay and Lesbian Advisory Unit, now at the Victoria Police Academy as an instructor.
And today we've got one of our glows from Moorabbin. We like to every now and again get one of our 40-odd glows from around the state to come in. Peter Jarvis, Senior Constable Peter Jarvis, is at Southern Metro Division 2, and I'll let him tell you in a little bit where that is. But he's had 14 years policing experience, including working in intelligence, operations, prosecutions and crime prevention, and you're currently a crime prevention officer at Moorabbin. Welcome. Yep.
G'day. I work at the... We've actually got an office called the Proactive Policing Unit down at Moorabbin. So we cover the municipalities of Bayside, Kingston and Glen Ira.
Now, a Proactive Programs Unit is a little bit different. It's not done in all areas of policing. How long has that been going down at Moorabbin?
Oh, it's a couple of years now. And it's... In simple terms, we've merged the... In one office, you have a sergeant in charge, and then you have the crime prevention officers and the youth resource officers working together.
Mm-hmm.
Our main focus is community engagement as a whole, as a group, and then we sort of look at each job and decide whether that's more involved with crime prevention or engagement,
yep,
or it's more youth-related, and then the YROs.
And does Neighbourhood Watch fit into that as well?
We've got two Neighbourhood Watch people down our area, and they... do a lot of work with the Crime Prevention Office,
mm-hmm,
but their main focus is managing their program.
Yep. And it's quite an active program in the Bayside suburbs. If I remember rightly, I was down there in the mid-90s down that way.
The Neighbourhood Watch program?
Yeah.
I think like a lot of other places, the number of active zones, as they used to be called, has gone down a bit, but I spent Good Friday with the leaders of the Bayside Neighbourhood Watch. They mm-hmm were collecting on the corner of Nepean Highway and Elstonwick, and they're quite an active group and very committed.
Wonderful. Now, so what do you do on a daily basis as a Proactive Programs Officer?
In my office, my responsibility is sort of slid from being predominantly crime prevention to I now basically work on specific projects. So we've got a youth bail engagement program that we've been working on, which has started to be rolled out in other areas.
Mm.
We're also now starting off another youth recidivist offenders program. So another program to try to identify how to engage with young offenders and try to reduce that, and people that are at risk of becoming one. We've got other programs that have been going. We're about to launch a program in the next few months. I'm doing the preliminary work to address graffiti in the area. So,
is graffiti a big problem down that way?
I don't think any more or less than other areas, but we've certainly got on board with a program to identify the issue. I think the perceptions of safety are very much impacted by graffiti in our area, mm-hmm, and that's why we've taken this move to do all the preparation work that I'm working on at the moment to make sure that when we roll this project out, it's a holistic approach. We're addressing not only the reporting and investigation side, but the removal and the community's involvement with the removal. I think it's very important.
Which leads to the ultimate prevention thereof.
Yeah, I mean, the sooner you remove graffiti, the less likely it's going to continue to be a problem. But the big thing we want to do with this program is make sure that the community take ownership of the area and have that sense of commitment so that it's their area to protect. And hopefully that will, in some ways, affect the mindset of those that are doing it as well and get them to recognise that it's a problem.
Great. Sounds like a great project. Now, as part of your project, here's a suggestion for you from the Anti-Violence Project. It's around when you see the graffiti where there's homophobic elements or transphobic elements popping up in graffiti, being able to document that and make sure that that forms part of the intelligence you gather around the graffiti, because that can inform then other issues for local community, pressures on same-sex attracted young people or people that own cafes or businesses that are openly gay and get harassed or get property damage. So there's a suggestion. I'd like you to perhaps take that on board, Peter.
Well, there's a very strong intelligence gathering component of this project, and basically instead of it being what used to be quite fragmented, it'll be an online system as well. But what we're going to be making sure we do is gather the intelligence of all the criminal damage and graffiti that we have in the whole area and be able to utilise that to target our approach in response to that.
Sounds like a brilliant campaign.
So adding on to that, then you've taken on Gay and Lesbian Liaison as a portfolio additional to that. What led to you taking that on?
I did the human rights training, the advanced human rights training course through Victoria Police. And one of the people
For people who don't know, it's a week-long course initially in the classroom, and then there's a component afterwards, which is an out-of-course component, but it's run by Curtin University.
Yeah, they're involved, and you can follow on and do further studies from it. But my involvement, I've done the human rights assessment for some of the projects that we do.
Oh, yeah.
All the projects that we run out of office, one of the things we do is look at, is it appropriate to do and how does it impact the community and make sure that we're in line with the department's expectations and the government's and everyone else's expectation. And when I was doing that course, one of the people I did it with was Electra Wellens, who's a GLOW, and I was really inspired by some of her experience and some of the stories that she told and some of the experiences that she shared with me, and the fact that back then, before our last GLOW course, there weren't many GLOWs sort of left out there. And so I put my hand up and spoke to your office and found that there was, you know, a course coming in the future. And from then I did the course and have been engaging on other projects since then.
And you're a great GLOW. You actually came down to Germana with me on Saturday to the launch of, well, it was really a forum about some work they've been doing down there. So it was great to see you there, and you've come along to Carnival Days in the past as well, including this year's one.
Yep. I think that the reality is that whenever there's things on in the GLBTI community, then there's going to be people from my area, and the more I can interact with them and get them to be aware that there are more GLOWs out there now and make the presence felt, then I'll get more engagement with them and more contact.
Peter, I want to put you on the spot. You did the course, you stepped up and flagged your interest in being a GLOW. Is there anything about the LGBTI community that you've learnt that you didn't know before that just surprised you, that's something that you've been enjoyed learning?
Good question.
Oh, look, I've had a number of friends that are well in the community and quite well known in the community too, to be honest. And I think one of the things that struck me on the course was the situation where the Tony from...
Tony Briffer?
Yep.
From Hobson's Bay Council.
Yep. Tony was a fantastic speaker. And one of the things that crime prevention officers do is we do a lot of work on... it's sort of a running joke, but we do a lot of work on public toilet infrastructure. Councils always want to know how to make them safer and stuff. And the beat issue is quite commonly brought to us. And it was really interesting to hear the perspective from the other side as to, I suppose the best way to put it is that the social importance of that situation that a lot of people outside of the community probably don't understand. and the fact that there are ways for us to engage with that issue in a better way.
Very important. Now, we're going to take a bit of a break and then we'll hear more about the initiative that's being run down in the Bayside suburbs for young people who are same-sex attracted, gender questioning.
The Respect Project.
That's the one. And you're listening to the Victoria Police Community Hour on Joy 94.9. Gabrielle Tyack, hello again.
Good afternoon.
And we've now got our second crime of the week, and the wonderful Peter Jarvis, our gay and lesbian liaison officer from Moorabbin, is going to lead us down that path.
At about 2:20 a.m. on the 19th of February 2012, two women were walking along Bourke Street, Melbourne, near the corner of King Street. One of the women walked down a flight of stairs, and it's alleged that a male followed her and indecently assaulted her before fleeing along Bourke Street. The man is described as an Indian in appearance, about 20 years old, and had a slim build. He was wearing a dark-coloured top. Police have released images of a man whom they believe may be able to assist them in their inquiries, and you can see those images at Crime Stoppers or Victoria Police Media.
Excellent. So crimestoppers.com.au is the place to go, and you will be wanting to search for reference number CA6135.
And we want to catch this guy, because often offences like this can lead to much more serious offences if they don't get caught.
Yeah. We'd really encourage people to get across to crimestoppers.com.au. You never know. You just might look at this and go, I know exactly who that is, and help us out to be able to solve that crime.
And remember,
if you see something,
say something.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
You're on Victoria Police Community Hour, and we've had a text in from Tex, who's on leave and very happy to listen to us and says hello. So thank you, Tex.
Yes, hello, Tex. And you can listen to Tex on a Thursday night with Well, Well, Well.
We've been speaking to Peter Jarvis, our Moorabbin GLOW and Crime Prevention Officer. And I'll let him introduce our next guest, and then they can talk about the Respect Project that they've launched together recently down in the Glenira, Kingston and Bayside area. Peter?
Well, this could be fun. Okay, I'll introduce Suzanne Bray. She works with the Bayside, it's a mouthful, the Bayside Kingston Glenora Learning Thing.
Local Learning and Employment Network, I'll help you out.
That is a mouthful. She can explain it herself, but she decided that we needed to address an issue in our area, and then we've met at other things, but then met at the birthday celebration for the Safe Schools Coalition.
That was December, I believe.
Yes. And from there, we've formed a committee that ended up being called Respect, and we have gone on to bigger and better things.
And I think Zorica Jurek from Queer in Kingston, GLBTIQ support group in Kingston Youth Services, was going to join us, and she's part of this committee, but she wasn't able to make it. But so that leaves it up to you, Suzanne, to tell us all about what Respect is.
Fantastic. I'm actually working for an organisation called the Bayside Glenara Kingston Local Learning and Employment Network, and we're a bit of a strategic organisation that looks at really exploring what the gaps are in our local community across the three local government areas. And I guess for us, one of the gaps that was really obvious is that in terms of services available for young people who are GLBTIQ, there wasn't really much, and what did exist wasn't actually coordinated. So we've actually established Respect, supporting sexual diversity in Bayside, Glenora and Kingston. And it's really an opportunity to get key organisations and schools on board to actually look at how we, I guess, improve the health, wellbeing and educational success of young people in the region. So we're doing a whole lot of different things for that community in our region at the moment.
Fantastic work. And you've got a poster that you've launched and also a postcard that people can get their hands on. And what's on those posters and postcards?
One of the areas that we're looking at is obviously at young people themselves. And last week we actually launched a Sexuality is Not Always Black and White postcard, which is, I guess, a little resource for young people. And it has a very funky little zebra on there that's all
funky.
Sort of colourful.
That's no longer just black and white.
No, it's no longer black and white. It's actually in rainbow colours. And that's about highlighting what all the local services are for young people in the area, because there isn't a resource for young people to say, hey, you know, what sort of services are available. So we were really conscious that there wasn't much available for young people, but let's promote what there is. So we've got this little resource, and we're in the process at the moment, as our Respect Steering Committee, of distributing that to local schools, to youth organisations who work with young people. We're hoping to get it into public libraries to really actually expand it so that young people can actually pick up this resource and know what's available. So if they're coming out and they've got questions and they're needing to talk to someone, they've got a whole bunch of services in the region to actually contact.
Now, Suzanne Bray from the Bayside Glenora Kingston Local Learning and Employment Network, it's very heartening to hear the work you're doing around diversity and around young people in particular, and more than young people, older people. How do we make it sustainable? How do we make sure that the Suzanne Bray of today managed to stay in her job long enough and build capacity so that she hands over to the next person, and then that person hands to the next person, and we don't lose some of the knowledge?
That's a critical question, and it's interesting because I've been interested in these issues for a very long time while I've worked in the youth sector. And what we're trying to do is actually to skill up the service providers. We're trying to skill up schools, so eventually there won't be a need for Suzanne Bray to actually do this work and sort of, I guess, be part of this steering committee. Because what we actually envisage in the long term is that by supporting youth organisations, by supporting schools, and this is one of the things that we're looking at the moment too, there is a sustainability sort of concept involved in that, because it's around, I guess, bringing in whoever is the leaders in this area. For example, the Safe Schools Coalition, who provide free training to organisations, getting PFLAG involved. So we're actually bringing in the resources so that and sharing that around, so the knowledge is actually not just within our small community, it's actually within the bigger region, so that it's actually almost like a domino effect. So we're skilling up the youth workers of today, and it's around sort of, I guess, making those contacts with the Safe Schools Coalition so that the future people who are working in this area actually know where to go. So it's about bringing the expertise into our region as opposed to actually, I guess, going outside of our region. I think sometimes when it's local, it's much more accessible as well.
Well, next, a follow-up question to that, Suzanne. Yeah. You kind of love these questions, don't you?
Yeah, I will.
And it's about, we talk about skilling community. I think in local government, one of the keys is skilling your peers in local government so that same-sex attracted work doesn't become a tack-on, it becomes core in everyone's job.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you think you'll take that challenge on?
And that's a really interesting question, because I guess it's about, and this is how I imagine it, when we put people in boxes, we actually say that they're a little bit different. But the reality is, at the end of the day, we're all actually human. And I think it's around how you actually incorporate all these sorts of things into, for example, into the curriculum. So when you're doing things, for example, like sex ed in schools, you know, you think about, you know, young people who might be same-sex attracted. So you actually don't actually just focus on heterosexual sort of activities and things like that. You know, you expand that a little bit more. And that's what we're doing with the Safe Schools Coalition when we do our training in a couple of weeks, is actually talking to teachers about, you need to expand that with youth workers as well. It's around thinking about things like language. For example, you know, young people use this terrible, and sometimes adults, expression of, that's so gay. What does that mean? You know, what does a young person who might be questioning their sexuality think when they actually hear that? So it's around sort of questioning your own values. And so I guess, again, it's around, I guess, delivering this training. So in the sense that by questioning your values and where you actually sit with all of this work, can actually then potentially look at how we, I guess, continue to do it as well.
That's great. Is one of the focuses that you of yours is to encourage or talk to schools and encourage them to join the Safe Schools Coalition?
Absolutely. We're actually doing a number of things. So one of them is obviously looking at how we support young people themselves, but the other thing is how we support schools. Schools are, you know, fabulous, diverse communities with all ranges of and sorts of people there. So what we're wanting to do is actually advocate to schools to join the Safe Schools Coalition, but not just join and have your rainbow sticker at, say, the wellbeing coordinator's office, but really to be active, to pick up kids' language, to actually really be involved, to actually make a really safe environment for schools.
And to be visible. I mean, every school bulletin goes out in paper form or email to the parents should have something about diversity on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's visibility.
Yeah.
And finding champions and advocates amongst parents' networks and, you know, school councils.
Yeah.
So, look, I'm really excited by Suzanne Bray being here today and her work and the challenge. And good luck with your training at Safe Schools Coalition.
Thanks for that, Greg.
Now, if you've got a question for Suzanne or for Peter, now's the time to start thinking about sending that SMS in. We'll give you a few moments to think about it and get those messages into us while we listen to some music and a couple of important announcements. And you're listening to the Victoria Police Community Hour, taking it to the streets. And certainly our guests in the studio, Suzanne and Peter, are taking the whole idea of respect to the streets. So we'll continue that conversation in a moment, but we're going to do our last crimes of the week.
And this is a really interesting one. This is one using deception of a stolen credit card and using the details to purchase thousands of dollars worth of goods from supermarkets across Melbourne. And between 15th of January and 19th of February this year, two men allegedly did this. The victim was in possession of his credit card for the duration of the period, and during this time, unauthorised transactions of many thousands of dollars were made against that same card number. And the first man that police would love to speak to, and which is being put up for information on Crime Stoppers, is a Caucasian man, 35 to 45 years old, who's balding, and he was wearing a black suit. The second man's described as Caucasian, 50 to 55 years old, wearing a white peaked cap and light-coloured shirt and shorts. And he's also very clear pictures on the Crime Stoppers website. So we have two individual men, separate men, on multiple occasions using credit card information that wasn't on the credit card that was in the victim's possession at the time. Really interesting case. If you want to check this out, go to the Crime Stoppers website. That's crimestoppers.com.au. Type in CA6162 and you may know these particular men. They've been right across Melbourne, many supermarkets across Melbourne. You might be one of the GLBT community that works as a service person in supermarkets. You might recognise this man. He might be standing in front of you right now, or the other man.
We've also got a wanted man, so we know who this person is, we just don't know where he is. Where is Dewey Tree Nguyen? It's alleged Nguyen was involved in theft and threats to inflict injury in Deer Park in August last year. Warrants for his arrest have also been issued. He was born on the 18th of June, 85. He's 175 centimetres with a thin build, brown eyes, black hair and a fair complexion. And his image is also on our Crime Stoppers website, crimestoppers.com.au.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
You're on the Victoria Police Community Hour and we're talking to Suzanne Bray from Bayside Glenara Kingston Local Learning and Employment Network and our Moorabbin Glow Senior Constable Peter Jarvis. Now, you've been talking about the Respect project that you've launched recently and you've got some resources for local GLBTIQ young people. Now, you also mentioned that you're going to do some training sessions for people. Now, where can they find out information about that and can you give us some information, times, dates, etc.?
Absolutely. What we're actually doing is, as I said earlier, we're engaging with the Safe Schools Coalition to come out to our region to do some training. And there'll be two sessions. One's actually designed more for organisations who are working directly with young people. And the date is, the two sessions are actually on the same day. It's Wednesday, the 23rd of May. And the earlier session for organisations is at 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock, and that is at the Kingston Arts Centre at 979 Nepean Highway, Moorabbin. It's actually, places are limited, so people who are working with young people in the Bayside, Glenara and Kingston region will probably be serviced first. And if they're wanting to RSVP, they can do that at suzanne.bray, B-R-A-Y, at bgklen.org.
And if you're not very quick writing down the information, you can also get onto the podcast when it comes up on the Joy website in the next few days
next
or so.
Days.
Fantastic. And then we have a session which is more designed for teachers, and that's called Supporting Gender and Sexual Diversity in Schools. And that's also on Wednesday, the 23rd of May, between 2:30 and 4:30. So we really encourage teachers that are listening to come along. The sessions are fantastic. They're run by the Safe Schools Coalition. They've done this many times. And it's all around how you can work better with young people who fit into the GLBTIQ young people.
And have you got a phone number people can ring if they've got any questions?
So I certainly do. Our number at the BGKLN is 9584 8845.
All right, we're going to come back, just have a couple of messages and then we'll be back to finish off the show.
You're on the Victoria Police Community Hour. Now, Suzanne Bray from Bayside, Glen Iron, Kingston Local Learning and Employment Network, you're doing some wonderful work with the Respect Project. I'm just wondering if it's something that can be transferred out to other council areas where they don't have any visible services for GLBTIQ youth.
Absolutely. I think when I was looking at doing something like this 6 months ago, it was just basically myself. So I think what's really important is to have a champion. I think you really do need someone who can actually roll up their sleeves and really like get together a bit of a steering committee and really do the hard work. Because I think, you know, this just doesn't happen. There's lots of actually hours and hard work that goes into it. But I think it's also about knowing your community and what the issues and what the gaps are in your community and really sort of, I guess, really being, I guess, a really strong advocate for this community. And I think if you've got those things, then you definitely can reproduce it in other regions.
Now, Suzanne Bray, we've got a suggestion for you. Coming up is International Day Against Homophobia on Thursday, May 17. And also for you too, Peter Jarvis. We'd like to see Bayside Kingston Council doing something for Idaho Day, maybe even a morning tea or a review of your policies to make sure they're gender and sexuality inclusive. Peter, maybe a morning tea down at your station. You can invite Suzanne to come along and be part of your morning tea for Idaho Day. There's some suggestions.
It is a suggestion, yes.
But also around the state, in Shepparton, Idaho is taking place in Maud Street, Shepparton, and you better catch up with Damon Stevens from Uniting Care Cutting Edge. And also Chris Todd will be there. Chris Todd is Shepparton at antiviolence.info, the contact point for the Anti-Violence Project in Shepparton. Here in Melbourne, there's a Melbourne flash mob taking place. Here in Melbourne, you can
somewhere.
Be part of that in the planning for Melbourne. Somewhere special.
Somewhere in Melbourne.
You can be part of that.
How? How can people find out?
I'll tell you shortly. Also in the Safe Schools Coalition Victoria are organising a whole range of stuff for International Day Against Homophobia. You can check out sscv.org.au. And here at Joy, hopefully on the breakfast show there'll be something. Dean Beck is doing an Idaho focus to his show at 12 noon, and at 1 o'clock we have a special Idaho broadcast here from the studios of Joy 94.9.
And don't forget, the day before we've got the Victoria Police Community Hour Lesbians Matter segment, so we'll be also doing some Idaho stuff on that.
And connecting with that, down at Deakin University in Burwood, they're doing their Idaho work the day before on that day, and they'll be reporting in during the Lesbians Matter part of the Glow Show.
And who's our special guest on the Idaho broadcast here from 1 p.m?
We have the Chief Commissioner of Police, Ken Lay, coming to join us here in the studios of Joy 94.9. If you want more information, you can contact gllo@joy.org.au. You can also email vicavp@antiviolence.info, and we'll provide all that information for you.
And just before Suzanne and Peter leave, we've got a question in from Melina. Loving the show, is there a DVD and teacher resource available for those who can't attend those sessions?
Not yet, but I'm sure if they contact the Safe Schools Coalition, they'll actually be able to put them on to some further information.
I really want to thank both Suzanne and Peter for coming in today. It's fantastic work that you're doing down there, trying to skill up a whole range of different people to be able to provide services for the same-sex attracted young people, gender questioning down there. So really, really thank you for that. Any final words, Pete? Anything that you got coming up that we need to know about?
No.
Wonderful. Well, that was nice and easy. Thank you very much for taking on the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer role down there. It's really appreciated by the community. Suzanne, any final words that you need to get across?
I guess just in terms of the youth and education sector, just to get behind our work, particularly in our region, but definitely to be open to these issues, because I think this group that we're talking about, all the research says that they're an at-risk group and that we actually really need to do some work with them. So I think that's really positive.
And I think there'll be a lot of discussion about that tomorrow on the joint broadcast between Joy and 3AW. Now, Gabby, next week?
Well, next week it's the Scott Special.
The Scott Special.
That's what I've named the week, because I'm in Sydney on a couple of days off visiting some family, and you're running the shows. So I think it's going to be the Scott Special. Don't bring in your ukulele. Or maybe I've just given you the idea.
I was going to get Alex, our glow up in the sort of the eastern suburbs, to come in with her ukulele, and
you
I could have brought mine.
Play together, and
that's right. We could do we've played about four or five songs today, so we could do four or five songs in between all the conversations.
Try and set that up.
Yes, I think that'd be a fair thing to do. If you would like, Alex Watson and myself to be the Glow Ukulele Collective on air. We'd call ourselves GUCK, Glow Ukulele Collective. Okay. You can email us glow@joy.org.au and you can vote.
And I can see those emails coming through.
Yeah, and you could even tell us what songs you'd like us to play on the ukulele live to air.
Because I think that, as you say, ukulele.
Ukulele. That's how we say it in Hawaii.
Yeah, I'm sure. It seems to be taking off. A lot of people are starting up playing the ukulele. And you've got a local group that you go to with Alex.
Yeah, every Wednesday night. It's actually tonight, the Melbourne Ukulele Collective up at the Cornish Arms Hotel.
What a great day, the community hour and then the ukulele session.
I know,
session.
Wednesdays is one of my favourite days of the week, I have to say. Okay, thank you very much, Gabby. Thanks, Suzanne. Thanks, Peter. Thanks, Greg, for coming in today. And we'll see you next week for the Scott Special on the Victoria Police Community Hour.
Ever wanted to leap tall buildings, uphold the law, solve a crime, but just don't have the time?
Go!
Tune in to Joy 94.9, Wednesdays from midday,
when Victoria Police gay and lesbian liaison officers
Gabby and Scott
ask for your help in solving crime.
Victoria Police GLOWS, Crime Stoppers, the Anti-Violence Project and Joy 94.9 working together to help make our community safe.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.